All right.
Got it?
Yep, I got it. So, the Holy Spirit is absolutely moving today because Tammy said like half of the things I'm going to say.
Uh-oh.
She, even to the point where I wrote down here, encourage notes to be taken. So, and you literally just said that too. Yeah, and you guys are going to hear the same scripture again that she read this morning.
Yeah,
you are. It's right here. So, yeah, so you guys are going to hear that again. It's okay because that's how we build faith. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it and hear it. Okay?
That's just awesome.
Did you announce this?
Oh, no.
And,
will you?
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
It's only up here to remind us. We need a lot of reminders. And I have cookies in 2 weeks, guys. So, just so you know. Oh, it's next week, actually. Deb's telling me next week I have cookies. Cookies? No, cookies. I have cookies. I was making a joke about needing reminders. Shirley Starr has a retirement party, okay? We want to support Shirley. We love Shirley. So it's going to be, there is a note card with all the stuff and the information in the, on the back on the bulletin too, okay? So you're going to enjoy some treats from the Sweet and Simple Things Home Bakery. There's charcuterie boards by Angie and Amy. This is going to be on Friday, February 27th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And then also on Saturday, February 28th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So you guys can stop by whenever you're available during that time just to celebrate Shirley. Love on her. Tell her what an amazing woman she is and just how much we appreciate her and our community.
She probably doesn't need flowers, does she?
Buy her some flowers. But maybe after retirement, somebody should send her some flowers after she's done at the flower shop. That makes sense.
Yeah, that does.
There you go. I did want to encourage everybody. Can I? I already drank all of my water.
Here, have mine.
Well, I saw that.
Here, this one's not open.
I saw that the worship team doesn't.
You got some?
Drink H2O, so I'm just kidding.
Water all the time.
You do, you bring your own though.
No, I've got one up there too.
I saw that I could snag one of theirs. So, all right. I do want to encourage you guys this morning and something that Tammy was just saying that. One thing is I'm just very honored to be able to come up here and give the word. Today I'm very excited. It's awesome to get to partner with God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus because that's what we're called to do. And it's amazing to get to operate in the calling that you have upon your life. If you guys have known me for any time, you guys do know I like to talk, so it's not really surprising that I'm up here talking, and that's something that God has called me in. And I just want to encourage you guys that God is calling each and every one of us, and there are those things that require preparation. If Tammy had asked me 8 years ago to come up here and preach, it wouldn't have been good, okay? It wouldn't have been what we needed to hear. I wasn't yet partnering with the Holy Spirit. I was doing things on my own and trying to figure things out and slot things together. But that was part of the process of what God had me in to figure things out, okay? But if we don't step out in that because you're like, I don't know how, I don't know what to do, that kind of stuff, okay, then you'll never get to the point where God can use you. He is still preparing me right now. Like, I am still in a preparation season right now, and each and every one of us needs to step into that preparation season because we're not done until we're buried in the ground.
Yes.
Okay? God wants to use us our entire life. There is no retirement in Christianity.
That's right. Come on.
No retirement. Okay?
Good work.
Yeah. So I know I heard somebody say that this last week, so I said it. took their saying, made it my own, right?
Amen.
I think Darren said if you say it 3 times, then it's yours.
That's right.
So I got 2 more times of making that joke, and then it's mine. Okay? but I just really want to encourage you that partnering with God and whatever He's called you to, because He wants to take you to new heights, right? He wants to bring you out of wherever you're at and show you that promised land, show you where He wants you to go. He wants you to walk out in that path that He's called you to. And it's absolutely amazing. It's going to transform you, and it's enjoyable. You will have a joy in it. I get revelation while I'm writing these messages. I like during the middle of this one, I like broke down crying. I'm like, God, I just don't understand this and that and whatever. And I'm like, okay, I feel like You want me to go on a walk. So I went on a walk, and I had to go clear my head. And I just felt God's presence upon me. And then I could go back and write. It is just an absolute. But I wouldn't have that experience if I wasn't seeking God and doing the things that He's called me in. I would not have that experience, right? And I'm strengthened because of it, yep. Right? I'm humbled before God, and He's lifted me up. When we humble ourselves, He's going to lift us up, right?
Amen.
We don't lift ourselves up. If we do that, we're going to come crashing down.
Amen.
Right? So I just want to encourage you guys in that. Whatever He has put on your heart, please step into it. God wants to take you somewhere, okay? And it's going to be something you enjoy. You're going to love it, okay? It might be scary, because last time, that's what I want to say too, is last time I came up to do the word, I was so nervous. I was nervous before I got over here. I was worshiping in my house. Sam knew I was nervous. I couldn't worship in the front. I had to be in the back walking the whole time. And just because we're nervous doesn't mean that we're not supposed to do something.
Amen. Come on.
Right?
Come on.
Then I got up here, and I knew that God was with me. I know that Jesus is with me right now, and because He's in me, and so that this word is going to go forth and do what He asked. And then this time, I'm not as nervous because I've already done it.
Yeah.
Right? And so the more you do what God's called you to do, now He's just going to make something else for me to get nervous about later. But yeah, that's faith. That's what faith is. I did think about telling that story, but I'll save it for tomorrow. So if you want to hear the testimony that about Rowan mine, then you got to come to prayer tomorrow. Okay. Because I got a lot of other things to say today. So, oh, good. They load me up with some water here. But that's what I want to encourage you guys in today is, well, not just that, but really thinking about the heart of our walk with God. I believe God wants us to call us back to our first love in Him. Mm-hmm. And where were we when we first came to Jesus? Or if you haven't come to Jesus, where are you now? And then more importantly, why did Jesus come to us? Why did Jesus come in the first place? And He kind of meets each and every one of us somewhere different. God's Spirit is always drawing us to Him. And we're all being drawn to God. And the reason that we come to Jesus, it looks different for each person, right? But God is going to do whatever's necessary to get us to come to Him, right? He knows what each of us needs. He's not one-dimensional. He's working on our hearts in different areas. And it takes us all different amounts of time to get there. But He's working on us, and the Holy Spirit is always waiting for us to start to turn and look to Him and begin to pursue Him. I began to pursue God because I was looking for truth. I wanted truth, and is God real? And that's where God met me. He met me with that. I didn't know when I was looking for truth that the Spirit of God is truth and that the truth is what sets you free.
Amen.
So isn't that just awesome that that's what I was looking for? And in finding that, I was set free. I didn't find truth in necessarily the ways that you might think, like, okay, the Bible's real because of all these manuscripts that they have, and history shows this, and historians don't even deny that Jesus is real, that He was a real man and did all of this, and there's all the people who saw Him after his resurrection. It's not like that. That's not how I came to truth. I came to truth by I sat down and I read Proverbs. And I read Proverbs, and the Holy Spirit showed me. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was showing me that. But I said, there is absolutely no way a man sat down and wrote these things and just knew them. Because if you read, for me, like, it was just where God had to meet me at. For me, I was already reading all these other things that were worldly things. And I realized if you follow what Proverbs says, all of these good outcomes are going to happen, and these were written thousands of years ago, and it still applies today. How could that possibly be true if God didn't write that? If God didn't inspire that? I mean, that was my revelation that I realized that there's absolutely no way a man wrote all of these things down. They're all correct. They're all true. They're all will produce good fruits in you. There's absolutely no way. That was my truth. That was my light bulb moment when I read Proverbs. I was like that. And I think we probably all had some kind of truth, some kind of revelation, something that brought us to wanting to know more about God. That was me. I wanted to know more after that point because I didn't even know yet about Jesus' death, resurrection, and my life with Christ yet. I just knew that this word was true. I knew that the word was true, and I just wanted to know more. And that's what lit that initial fire in me, is I wanted to know, is God real? And that to me was like, God's real. God is real. There's no way this book exists without God being real.
Amen.
And all those other things, you know, the manuscripts, historians, that stuff just built my faith more later, right? Like, okay, awesome. Well, you prove it with some natural things, too. Okay, cool. But there was already so much freedom when I did come to know Jesus. I had so much freedom, the freedom of sin, freedom of death, and freedom of the fear of death. I had a strong, strong fear of death. Has anybody else had that fear? Okay. I know that I'm not alone because Hebrews 2:15 says that Jesus came to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death.
Good.
A lot of us are held in slavery to that fear. And I was shocked to read this because I thought that I was kind of silly for having this fear of death, and it was part of what kind of drew me to God, and like, I need to know this truth because I need to know what happens after I die. When I was a kid, I would lay up at nighttime thinking about death and like imagining being buried alive and like freaking out and like, what is that nothingness? And like, it would, you know, send me into like panic as a kid in the middle of the night. And I would be afraid of my parents dying and run over to their room and go sit outside of, can I listen and hear my parents still breathing in there? And it's something that just really had a lot of fear in me that was just stuck with me. And I don't have that fear anymore. There's freedom in knowing God and knowing Jesus. And I believe that if anybody still has that same fear, I believe God wants to break that off of you today. He does not want you to live in that fear anymore. It says it right here in the Word that He's breaking those bondages of fear of death. So we need to trust the Word, and He trusts that He wants to break that off of you today. Okay, the truth is what sets us free, and God's word is true, and it's there in His word. So trust it that He is going to break that off you. No more bondage to the fear of death.
Amen.
All right. So truth, it's funny, I don't know, when I write my message, I just pray, and I just start writing, and truth was kind of what stood out when I was writing. But truth is just, it's just so important, because it's God's word. God's word is true. God's spirit is truth. Without truth, then we're in darkness. We're in darkness, we're in lies, we're in deceit, and it drives us far from God. Because God is light. God is truth, and darkness and deceit is far from Him, right? Darkness can't exist around light. If you shine a light on something, darkness is gone. So the more darkness and deceit and lies in our lives means the further we are away from truth, right? And further we are away from God. We're going to go to Genesis 3, okay? I'm going to... we're going to go there because we're going to talk about how our sin originated from lies and deceit and then put us in that darkness in the first place. I want to say, too, I just feel like this message is a little bit different for me than other ones that God has given to me before. Like, I don't always know what I'm going to talk about, but I pray about it, pray about it. God said, you're going to preach on why Jesus came. Okay. And then I pray on it, I pray on it, and then God usually brings me stuff to say. But he's like, no, you're going to have, that's not how it's going to happen this time. So it's going to be a little bit different. And I already feel that it is different. But I believe, I want to encourage you guys, if you're in this room today, I believe God wanted you here to hear this message, that you're not here by chance or, you know, it just happenstance. He wants this message to get into each and every one of us. There is a purpose for it, and he wants you to hear it, right?
Yes.
It is divine appointment, and he wants you to have this message. And there's a reason Tammy already read part of it, because he really wants you to hear that part. Okay? Amen? Really wants you to listen there. Okay, so this, Genesis 3, I want you guys to pay attention. This is the fall of man. After Adam and Eve are created in the garden, this is the basis of why we needed Jesus in the first place. Okay? It says, now the... I'm reading from NIV, which I don't love. Turns out I just learned more about why...
You don't love it.
Yeah, I left out a whole scripture, a whole line, a verse. And anyways, sorry. I couldn't believe it. I left out that whole line of brokenheartedness, by the way. I couldn't believe it. So anyways, so careful if you get the NIV. You might have lines missing. Okay. So, the fall, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Yeah, exactly. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is the temptation, the deceit, the lie, the thing that says there's no consequence, actually, if you do this. It's only good stuff. If you act in this sin, there's only going to be a good outcome. You'll be like God. That'll be awesome, won't it? That's how sin always parades itself. It parades as an angel of light. It looks good. It looks fun. Rowan and I have this all the time. He's like, but this is really fun, Mom. This is enjoyable. Why is everything fun that I want to do evil? And I explained to him, because it comes off that way. That's how the devil gets you. He wants to bring you in. He wants to say, hey, look how fun this is. Look how fun this party is. Look how wild and crazy everybody is being. Look at how engaged you can get into this, you know, video game that is showing you massacre people and demon sacrifices and all of this. Look at how engaging that is.
That's a good word.
And that's what the devil wants you to think. Well, it's just fun. It's just a game. It's just fun.
Good.
There's only good benefits. There's no actual consequence, right? And that's what the devil is saying right here. And we tell ourselves these lies still today, that there will be no consequence for our action, right? And think about a kid who thinks that there is no consequence for their action. How do they behave? Right? Like, yeah, exactly. Like Tobias. This is a funny story. So Atticus had already had a wild day of thinking there's no consequences, apparently. And just to top it off, we have women's and men's meeting here on Wednesday, and I go over to our house, and I go in there, and there's Atticus. This is just the end of the day, and he's just like this, and like, I don't know what he's about to do, but his hands are out. He looked like he's about to lunge forward at the cat or something. I don't know what he's doing. Anyways, I walk in, I open the door, and he immediately, like, stands up, like, and then I was like, are you sad about it, or you look like you're just being naughty, or what's going on? No, I wasn't naughty. I was about to be naughty.
I love it.
Mom walks in. Oh, okay. It changes a little bit when we think that there will be a consequence, right?
Yeah.
Imagine if God had walked up at that point when the devil is trying to deceive Eve, right? That's the same thing. But when there's no belief of consequence, and when there's no belief of God, when there's no belief of hell, then people continue to go off into their sin. There's no reason. There's not going to be a consequence. And even people who believe in hell and heaven, they think that, you know, these are just little things, so they're not really hurting me. There's actually not any consequence to it. And those lies, though, put us into darkness and deceit, and we deceive our own minds thinking that I can continue in this, but it actually drives us further and further from God. And then we wonder, why isn't God doing this in my life? Why isn't God? Because we're not partnering with God. We're not walking with Him in obedience. We're not seeking Him in all of the different ways. And when we have that little twinge of, like, I shouldn't do that, we say, it's okay, and it doesn't really hurt me that much, right? And we just see the good things out of it. Well, it's okay, because it's actually there is a good message hidden behind that other thing that isn't good, right? So I'll just take the, you know, you guys get the point. All right. We could probably go all day on that, right? Just like a parent talking to their kids. All right, we're going to continue, because I was going to say all that later. All right. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, see, there it goes, it's pleasing to my eyes. It's good for food. It's going to nourish me, right? Oh, this is going to be good. It's desirable. My feelings say, yeah, right? My feelings say, yeah, this is going to be fun. How often are our feelings? My body says, yeah, this is normal and natural and that I want it, right? Okay, and also desirable for gaining wisdom. Okay, I think of some things people think are going to gain them wisdom. Sorry, think about like fortune telling and all that stuff. Anyways, so she took some and ate it, right? So she went ahead and did it. She also gave some to her husband, and she brought some people along with her. Come on, I don't want to be alone in this sin. Come on, husband. Who was with her, and he ate it. And he knew exactly what God had said, okay? He knew what God had said, because, by the way, I think he wasn't crazy yet, but God told him, and he knew, okay? Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Okay, I just want to, I'm going to keep going. Okay, and then I'll get back to it. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And then the man said, "The woman put me here, or you put here with me. She gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the offspring, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." Okay, there's quite a few things I want to say about this whole passage. First off is when their eyes are opened. Okay, before that point, everything God had created was good. You guys know the creation story, hopefully. God made light and the heavens, and he made the earth, and he looked at it all, and he said it was good, right? Everything God made was good. God did not make sickness. God did not make sin. God made good things only.
Good.
Now, he did give us the potential in us with free will to choose. Sin is the choice of disobeying God. God did not create disobedience. God created us with a free will, and so therefore the potential exists for disobedience. The potential exists for sin, but God did not make it that way. It's the same as if, I put a good example in here. Drugs, medicine. It's the same. People created medicine because they wanted to help people. The original people's like, how can I heal you? How can I help you? Oh, this works, and I want to help you, right? Because I create a medicine for you, and you choose to abuse it and use it for thing purposes that I did not create it for, it does not mean that I created illegal drugs or misuse of drugs, or I created overdoses, or I created sickness or anything from that, or addiction to that, right? Medicine was created for good.
Yes.
Right? God created us for good. So this is the first time sin enters into the world. And this is the truth of what sin causes in our lives that we can still see today and know that sin is real. Because some people don't really believe that. Some people don't really believe that our actions cause bad things in the world. But they do.
Amen.
Right? And it doesn't just affect us. Some of us are, some of us are living the way God wants us to live, but we are affected and impacted by other people's choices and sins, right? Absolutely. Okay? And it doesn't matter that we were going the right way. Somebody comes in and crashes into us. That affects us. All the sickness affects us because it's around us. But you see right away, shame enters in. They realize they're naked. They never had any reason to be embarrassed or any reason to feel uncomfortable. They're afraid. I was afraid, God, because I was naked. Well, where did fear come from? Fear came from sin. We had no reason to fear before that, right? Separation. They want to hide from God, right? If we're in sin, it's way harder to go up and pray. Yeah. It's way harder to go before God. It's harder to read our Bible. It's harder to be in church. It's harder to be around people who you know are not in sin. You start to not want to be near those people because Jesus is in them, because you'll be in front of God. You don't want to be around your own self.
Yeah, yeah. Very good.
Which is true. You don't want to feel that sickness, so you start to tell those lies to yourself until you deceive yourself. And so deception also enters into the world, right? They're deceived. They're blaming each other,
yep.
Right? There's hate. There's all the disobedience. All of that still exists today, and that's proof to us that there is sin,
right,
and that there's reason for a Savior. Why we need to be saved and pulled out of that. Jesus said that he's going to free us from all of those things, to set us up free from sickness, disease, from our sin nature. He wants to give us righteousness. He wants us to walk in that freedom, to no longer be focused on the oppression and the things that we have going on in our lives, but to be so focused on him that we are free to not worry about all of those other things, that our body comes in alignment with heaven and is free of pain, sickness, of that death inside of us. Oh, I need to get into that. Here's the other thing. I'm going to get into that other stuff later, but anyway. Oh, man, now you have to do the note thing where you're like, I already said all that. I said all that. Yep. Okay. The important part here, too, is that I don't even know where this is at in my notes, but we have to see that separation, too, and the death that happens. Remember, God said, that's where it is. Okay. Well, I'm going to jump ahead. Sorry, guys. When you start going,
yep.
You start going.
Yep.
So you got to jump back in. You got to get online.
Yep.
What does God want me to say? Okay, yeah, we said that. So, I said all that. okay. I want to talk a little bit about that driving us apart from God. Okay, is that our sin driving us apart from God. I want you to think about this in a parent-child relationship as well. When your child, or you think about yourself being a child and your parent, when you don't listen to what they have said to you, what happens to that relationship? You don't want to be around your parent. You start to spread out, right? And you get further away. The more you don't want to listen to your parents, or the more you oppose them, the worse the relationship becomes, right? The worse it becomes. This is true with God and us. And we know that God is the perfect father, the perfect parent, right? And so the more that we oppose God, the further that's going to drive us from him. But the thing is, any good and loving parent is always there waiting for the time that their child decides to come back to them, right? That is how God is. That's how God sees us. He's waiting for us to say, hey, God, I'm going to turn and come back to you, okay? And it's like, how can I break free from these things? And Jesus says, with man, it's impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible, right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay? God did not leave us as orphans. He prearranged for the moment, from the first sin, when we see that he said that I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. He already, from the moment that the sin happened, he already put in place that Jesus is going to come. Amen. Jesus is going to reconcile us to God, and that he's going to bring us back into that relationship. Yeah. He doesn't want us to live in that sin nature anymore. He wants us to live with him, right? Jesus is that light of the world, and he who follows him, Jesus, will not walk in the darkness, but will have the gift of life. Okay, and this is what I want to talk about. That life word in the scriptures, that's John 8:12. If you take a note, John 8:12. Sorry. And the other one, with man, it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. That's Matthew 19:25-26. You want to look that up. All right. But the word life in John 8:12 is the word zoe, okay? And it means divine, eternal, and spiritual life, okay? It goes beyond our physical life, okay? Because we already have that. The people that are in front of Jesus, when he says, I'm the light of the world, and that you're going to have the gift of life, they were all living and breathing and looking at him, right? Adam and Eve, when they ate of the fruit, they were still physically alive, right? They're still running away from God and hiding behind bushes and talking to him, right? So then we have to say, okay, well, then what happened there? It's that spiritual life. It's this life that Jesus is talking about, the divine life, the eternal life, the spiritual life. That's what Jesus came to give us, was our spiritual life, right? He wanted us to be spiritually alive, connected to God, in union with God, okay? That we have that. It's just like how with Adam and Eve, the first sin entered in and death entered in, but with Jesus, we have eternity, okay, and eternal glory and divine spiritual life, and that's what Jesus was saying, okay, that he will impart his life, the life of God, to us if we will follow him, okay, it's that simple. We have to want to follow him and seek him, okay, so Jesus came to give us life, which is spiritual life. That's part of why Jesus came, okay, Jesus could have just come to give a spiritual life, and that would have been amazing and would have been enough, right?
Yeah.
Amen, right? Amen. You guys awake out there? Slim is. Okay, you guys go to Luke 4. Now, technically, Tammy read this from Isaiah, so it's a little bit different.
That's right.
Luke 4:16. How am I doing? Oh, wow, we're way over time. Did I talk that long? Huh? Yeah? Sorry. I don't know what time I started at.
11?
Did I really?
I started at the right time.
Oh, it was after 11. Okay. Okay, we're on Jesus 4. Or Jesus. We're on Luke 4. We're on Luke. We're going to talk about what Jesus said. Luke 4, 16 through 21. I don't even know why I'm trying to find it in my Bible, because I'm not going to read it from my Bible. Okay, it says, Jesus is talking here, and he's in the synagogue. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Okay, I want to say the poor. He was looking for anybody who was poor in spirit especially.
That's right.
Okay, he's looking for you who are poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that you have the, you understand that you have the need for God.
Amen.
Okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have to know that we have a need for God or we won't come to him. Which is why I talked about all that other stuff that I just talked about. That to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He's looking for those who are downtrodden, broken down, to proclaim liberty, so freedom, to those who are captive, captive to their mind, captive to their position, captive to wherever they were at, right? Captive to illness, sickness, whatever it is, to their bodies. Recovery of sight to the blind. He wants to heal people who are blind. He wants to heal people who are sick. That's what we see him doing. To set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Yes.
And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord means that the time is now.
That's right.
Salvation is now. Jesus came now to give us salvation. Now is the time. They've been waiting for a Messiah. They've been waiting for a Savior. And he said, now is the time. Now is the time. And guess what? There will be a consequence if we don't come to Jesus. There will be a consequence if you don't tell people about Jesus. There will be people in hell forever if we don't tell people about Jesus, if we don't come to him.
Good.
Right? He said, come to me, all those who are weary. Yeah. He wants to give you life. He said, I'm the light of the world. I want to give you life, spiritual life. I want to give you eternal life with me. Be unified with God. Come to me. That is what he was preaching. Okay? He only did what God was telling him to do. Jesus is God. And he said that I see what the Father does, and whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. I want you to understand that I think that sometimes we have the concept that God and Jesus are so separate and they act in different ways. But God is Jesus, and Jesus is God, and Jesus did exactly what God did. And some of us have a hard time going to Jesus because they don't want to come to the Father as well. They're like, I like Jesus, but I don't know about God, or vice versa. But when we look at Jesus and look at his life and what he did, he came and he healed people. He set people free from their bondage and captivity from Satan, people who were oppressed by spiritual forces. He came to have that liberation, right? He had set people free from the liberation that they had in their families and people who were suffering that way. He came and freed people who were suffering socially, that were oppressed because they were not born into the right family, right? Like racism and that kind of stuff. He came to set people free from those things. Right? And that's what God's will is for us as well. There's no difference between Jesus and God and what his will is for us. Amen. Amen. I know, I'm trying to skip ahead too. Okay. This is important. Romans 5:17 says, so we're thinking about the sin entered through Adam. But how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Okay? Right standing with God is a gift.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Righteousness is a gift. You have to accept a gift. You don't have the gift unless you accept it.
That's
but the
right.
Gift still exists.
Amen.
The gift is always there.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross,
right,
so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness.
Oh.
And by his wounds, you have been healed.
Oh, yes.
When we accept Jesus, we become spiritually alive, and he also renews our body, We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man is cast away, and we walk in newness of life following Jesus. We look to Jesus. We look to what his life looked like, and we walk out in that. And he leads us. He's so cute. I told him he wouldn't know the cue because he'd be paying attention. He was engaged. He was paying attention. Yeah, it's funny. But I said, I'll look at you though. So. That's why I went long, because he didn't get up there and play. I said it's the walk-off music. Okay. Sorry. Jesus died for us to show us how much God loves us, right?
Amen.
We know that John 3:16 says that he gave us his one and only begotten son, right? To die for us so that we would have eternal life. I'm not going to quote it properly. Where's Rowan? and that death, he took all of our sin and put it on the cross, right? He bore all of the sin. He bore all of our sicknesses, too, on the cross, that we would not have to bear them anymore, right? He went to hell, and he died for us, and then he defeated the devil, and he came back up and resurrected so that we could be resurrected in newness of life, resurrected with him so that we could die with him, have all of our sins buried and taken care of and washed away and then resurrected with him. He was completely healed and whole when he came up.
Amen.
Right? That's how he wants us to be. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we are completely healed, that we are set free from our bondage of our sin, our sicknesses, all of it, that we walk in newness of life, that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, that we pursue him with everything. It says that when you seek me, you will find me. You won't find him unless you seek him. It's just like we said, if you're not going to step out in the calling that he has on you, it's never going to happen. We don't do the stepping out. It's never going to happen. If we won't seek him, we won't find him, because he's already right there looking for us. He's already waiting for you. He's waiting for you to say, okay, God, this is my life and I want to give it to you. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity. And I want to say this. It is a repentance of sin. It's a repentance of your old life, knowing that you are dying to that old life. But you are dying and you are hanging up everything on the cross with Jesus, right? That old covenant, everything was dead upon the cross. He took every sin upon there, right? And it died. So when you confess that, you are saying all of those things died. When I accepted Jesus, I said to Tim has died and I have a new life, right? My old self died and I became something new. I became a daughter of Jesus Christ, a rightful heir of the kingdom, justified. That's right. Just as if I never did it. Just as if I never sinned. That's what Jesus wants to bring to each and every one of us, right? And then we profess that Jesus is our Lord, and that from this day forward, we will seek him with our whole heart, that we will give our lives over to him, right? That we're going to begin to walk in that newness of life, that we're going to have faith and trust him. We're going to lay it all at the altar. So if that's you, and you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to invite you forward, and we're going to pray together. And I invite you forward because Jesus said, if you won't stand before man for me, I won't stand for you before my Father in heaven. And it is important that we are willing to stand up before God and confess these things. And if you've never accepted righteousness, in your life, because that's the gift, okay? Maybe you believe in Jesus, and you're like, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Jesus died for me. I believe that part. But you haven't really given yourself over to the gift of righteousness, of right standing with God, of actually saying, my life is yours. I want to invite you forward as well. Just to fully surrender to God. Yep. A rededication is always available as well. Because Jesus said to take up your cross daily. And some of us haven't taken up that cross in a few days, weeks, months, but we want to take it up today. Your chance, and if you feel Jesus calling to you, I just want to encourage you to step out in faith and trust Him. There is no better life than one with God. There is absolutely nothing better than to be in the presence of God and to know that He's holding you in His hands and that He is leading your life. There is so much freedom in it. I love God, and He loves me, and He loves each and every one of you.
Yeah,
exactly. Amen. All right, we're going to pray this together. Lord God, I love You. I have sinned, and I repent of every one of those sins. I cast off the old man, and I walk in newness of life with You. I believe that Jesus died for me, and that He is God, and that He was raised again. My old self died with Him, and I am raised again with Him. I now walk in righteousness. I am made whole.
All sickness
and diseases I had before are gone. And taken at the cross by Jesus. I offer my life fully to God.
Jesus is my Lord.
God loves me.
He has made me new.
I no longer have a fear of death.
I am set free.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, I just want you guys to just give Him praise. Tell the Lord thank You for what He's done for you today. Amen. Amen. I just want to invite you guys all to attend prayer group tomorrow. It is so important. I just think that there are people in here who need prayer. We all need prayer.
Amen.
But I think some of us need to have that corporate prayer. We need to have hands laid on us. We need that extra time with God and with our brothers and sisters. I just want to encourage you to be here at 6 o'clock tomorrow for that.
Yes.
We're just going to close in prayer. Don't forget to get your kids. Lord God, Lord God, we praise You and we thank You for everything that You are doing in our lives and You have done. We thank You for every good gift, God, comes from You, Father. And the best gift is Your Son, Lord. Your Son who has saved us, who has made us new, who has given us divine, spiritual life for eternity with you, Father God. We thank you that he suffered on the cross for us, Lord God, so that we would not have to suffer. We thank you, Lord, that he bore our sicknesses and our diseases. I thank you, Lord, for healing in this room right now, Father God, the healing that has taken place, Lord God, the healing in the hearts, in the minds, in the bodies. I praise you and I thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Oh, I got dizzy. I said, oh, I got dizzy. Is that positive? Nope.